Welcome to Camping Out, a podcast about interesting people, stories, adventures, and their impact in the world, usually through the lens of outdoor adventure. I'm Dan Camp, and tonight we get to share a campfire conversation with the creator and director of Vibe Tribe Adventures, Jess Newton. After living a childhood that nurtured a deep love and appreciation for the outdoors, Jess has always felt and acknowledged the need for humans to enjoy some outdoor time. When Jess and one of her co-workers decided to go on a hike together and then reach out to see if there were any other black women who wanted to join them, things started to pick up. Today, Vibe Tribe Adventures has three different programs, the Urban Trekkers, Black Girls Hike, and Black 14ers, all of which are designed to help get black people outside. All right, campers, go ahead, find yourself a cozy seat. Why don't you pour yourself your preferred fireside beverage and get ready to listen from Jess Newton and Vibe Tribe Adventures. Welcome to Camping Out. I'm Dan Camp, and tonight I get the opportunity to have a fireside chat with the creator and CEO of Vibe Tribe Adventures, Jess Newton. Vibe Tribe Adventures, formerly known as Black Girls Hike, is a nonprofit, minority woman-owned global outdoor and adventure company that was created to encourage Black women, men, and urban youth to explore the great outdoors, practice conservation, become educated on environmental science, health, and wellness, and to inspire one another to be who they are naturally. In a world that desperately needs more people to grow in their love of nature, I am absolutely stoked to speak with someone who's on the front line of that mission. Jess Newton, welcome to Camping Out.
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate this so much. I'm excited to talk with you and see what's up.
Yeah, me too. We were just talking off camera about, you're in mountain time. We're kind of both in mountain cities. You're in Colorado. We're getting our first snow out here in Montana, and I don't get a lot of people. I'm always colliding with time zones, so it was really easy to coordinate our conversation. I think you should tell everybody what your fireside beverage of choice is tonight. It's kind of I think it's the first.
So today, I have ice water.
Woo!
Mason jar. Here to sustainability.
There it is. Yeah. I will say, drinking it out of the mason jar makes it taste better.
It does! Mm-hmm. And this is like super alkaline water, so I'm super excited. I'm like, yes, hit those cells, refresh them.
Right. I ran to the store and I got one of my favorite beers from one of my favorite Montana breweries, Bitterroot Brewing.
Oh, nice.
Yep, and it's a milkshake IPA, so it's really thick.
Oh, okay.
And it's called Snow Church. They have one in the summer. That's one of my favorites, called Dirt Church. Yeah. And I love to throw up my kayak. Like, that's one of my favorite adventure beers. So I saw them on Instagram. They had the Snow Church. And yeah. I looked. And I finally had my first one like a month ago. And I've just been obsessed with it. So.
Oh, very good. How's it tasting? So it's thick.
It's thick. It's citrusy. It's really beautiful when poured into a glass. I always say you can tell the best hazy. Yeah. Style IPAs when you pour them into a nice glass. It's almost romantic. It's beautiful. I feel like I'm proud of the person who brewed that, and I'm sure they're proud of the product too. Well, I want to get things going because I'm really excited about this conversation. So I'd love for you to kind of like introduce yourself, where you're at, where you're from, and we'll kind of dig in from there.
Yeah. So hey everyone, I'm Jess, founder, CEO, or executive director of Vibe Tribe Adventures. Yes, we used to be called Black Girls Hike, but we actually rolled Black Girls Hike as a program into Vibe Tribe Adventures. We decided to go ahead and make Vibe Tribe an actual 501c3 this past July. And so now we're just working on funding our programs. So we have three programs. We have Black Girls Hike. We have our Urban Trekker, which is our youth development program. And that specializes in getting children, urban youth outdoors, and really encouraging them to go into environmental science careers, as well as exploration of the wildlife and parks and nature. And then it also tags a little bit on the mental health piece. I think anytime you talk about nature, you're going to hit a mental health piece. Mm-hmm. And then our third program is our Black 14er program, which is more of a advanced, an advanced program for instance, we have two young men right now who are trying to summit all 58 14ers here in Colorado. We pay for their training, their equipment, food, traveling expenses to make sure that they have what they need to be successful, to survive. Because you know, if you get up there afternoon, you might have to stay up there depending on what the weather looks like. So making sure that they have those skills to be successful to come back down alive.
Yeah, no kidding. That's an important part of that.
Like, you guys okay up there? Like,
hello.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. So it's three programs all rolled under to that one umbrella.
Yeah. I just felt like, if we're going to talk about Black women and Black girls, you have to talk about the family as well. So you can't leave out the men. You may have men who have daughters who want to be a part of Black Girls Hike, and maybe they may feel comfortable with the more advanced, you know, the Black 14er program, where they can feel more manly, I guess, and go hiking and conquer the top of the mountain. So, you know, so I just felt like, roll out something a little more masculine, roll out something for children, and then roll out something for our women as well. So
cool. And I want to circle back and talk about all those programs in just a second, but I would love to hear about your background. Like, growing up, were you like a child of the outdoors, or was this something that you found later in life? Like, what brought you out to do these sort of things that you're passionate about?
Yeah. So my parents just dropped me in Montessori schools. They were like, hey, you're going to be the only chocolate girl.
Right.
I went to Montessori schools and private schools off and on. And that gave me an opportunity to see something different than what my neighbors would typically experience, or people who are my age got to experience. So for instance, in fourth grade, we literally would go to the creek, put on our rain boots, go to the creek and like lift up the rocks and look for crawdads and dissect them and write a paper about it and talk about it. We did everything outdoors. We cooked outside in the little native ovens. I mean, it's just outdoors was natural for me. And so, let's see, high school, I went to Moab and slept in the canyons and canoed in the Colorado rivers and ice climbed. So it was just so normal for me, but it was always just me as that chocolate drop. So I was just like, oh,
right. As
I got older, then I saw the separation. But when you're a kid and a teenager, you don't necessarily know that at the time. There's a camp here called Camp Adrahaji, Camp I'd Rather Have Jesus. It's in Bailey, Colorado. And that I said, I would think had the most influential, because it was middle school and high school.
Yeah.
My parents sent me every summer. So outdoors has just been me. It's been my thing. We're nature.
Yeah, seriously. And it's so, I was the same way, obviously not being the chocolate drop into that pool, obviously. But to me, like, it was very, very natural. And I just, the last episode we did was just with my dad, and about how growing up, he just kind of decided to be a parent that brought his kids outside. And so for me, like, that's what I thought everybody was doing on the weekends. I thought everybody was going fishing. I thought like people were hiking and playing with dirt and like riding their bikes and like hanging out. I really did. And it's funny to hear you say, you know, like as a kid, you really don't discern it from other things. You know, it's like, this is what we're doing. This is my universe. And this is what we're going to go into.
Yeah.
That's pretty powerful to hear about. So I guess like at what point, growing up, did you start to notice that, there wasn't as much diversity in the outdoors as, you'd never noticed, I guess.
I think it was my trip to Moab when I realized I was with my classmates, like 12 of us, and I was the only Black person that I could see for miles. Like, I'm out here in the middle of the canyon. It's just me.
Right.
I loved all of my classmates. I knew if anything happened, and my teachers, they were just amazing. But it was just like, you know, we took pictures and we came back to school and we showed everyone. It was just like, I'm the only one in there. So that kind of felt awkward, but I loved everyone, you know, just the same. So
Yeah. Yeah. That's so, it's such a different universe. You know, it's hard for me to even think about that situation. So was that like your motivation to start getting involved and bringing people out, or like, when did that start?
Yeah. So let's see. 2017, I was sitting on a board for Colorado Black Women for Political Action, and I was in charge of the nominations. Like, we nominate women who are doing amazing things in the community. Yeah. And I had to work with a lady who did public relations and writing all of her articles and getting more news about. And she was like, hey, let's just go hiking. I always see you posting about you going hiking, because I was hiking with my daughter and her friends. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm always hiking with my daughter. Let's just go hiking together. And I was like, okay, yeah.
So, yeah. This is great.
Cool. Yeah. There's another Black lady who wants to go hiking with me in Colorado.
Yes.
So I posted on a meetup, and other women came, and it was like, is there 12 of us out here? This is yeah. Weird. And so then I just posted another one and another one, and we called it Black Girls Hike, and NBC Channel 9 interviewed me, and then NBC Nightly News flew out and interviewed me, and then we went global. We had people from Hawaii saying, how can we be a part of this? And South Africa, South America, and Germany, I remember so distinguishly. Like, it was crazy. It was
like, wow. It seems like it happened so organically. Like, you're like, okay, there's two Black women here. Let's see if there's any more that want to hop on this. And yeah. It's all I can think in my head is that you were able to nail a niche that was out there existing, but they didn't know how to do it, or like, are there other people doing it with them?
We didn't know that we were alone in this. We were all together in this, but alone at the same time. Like, wow, you go hiking too all the time? What? Where?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, and it just took off. So I'm very grateful that it did happen organically. And then we just called it a Vibe Tribe Adventures because it needed to be an organization that was more inclusive. So not just hiking, but we do zip lining, we do yoga, we do art therapy. And there's other things that we incorporate to kind of help with the trauma that the Black community experienced, as well as talking about cardiovascular disease and things to help with the disparities that we have in the Black community.
When you guys first went out there and you had this like gigantic group of Black women, were people like, what's going on here? Or like, what was the like public feedback?
Yeah. It was weird. It was weird. Yeah. We had, when NBC Nightly News flew out, we had 70 women that showed up.
Wow.
And I was like, whoa, okay, we got to split up into groups, guys. Like,
yeah,
this is way too much for one trail. And so typically we split into beginner, intermediate, and advanced. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of had to find our different guides who could help, you know, oh, you're a beginner, you might go a little slower, you're intermediate, and then obviously advanced, which is take off. It was so comforting.
Yeah. Was it empowering? Did you feel like, look at these people, I'm bringing like a community together that wanted to do this, and they just needed somebody to kick them in the ass to get them outside?
It wasn't even like I'm doing it. It was just like, we're collectively doing this together.
Yeah. That is, that's super, super cool. So as it started to evolve and you started to take it to Vibe Tribe Adventures, just listening to you talk about it, you've started to focus on things like the mental health aspect and the therapy aspect and like the environmental racism side of things. What, I guess, are your like teaching points, and like what programs do you think people buy into the most that, you know, it's a difficult thing to get introduced to outdoor sports for anybody. You know, you kind of have to have like a certain craziness about you to do certain things. Like ziplining, I used to be a zipline guide. I guided a ton of different trips, but ziplines was interesting because you take the same person rafting in the morning and they take on class 4 whitewater and they'd be cheering like crazy. But you get them to the first platform on the zipline and they're bawling in your arms, crying. They're telling you like their life story. You know, you're learning stuff about this person that you never knew. So, I mean, I had people pee their pants. Like, it's... Yeah, I know. It's crazy. So I guess like what was that experience like, and what is it still like as you're teaching people, like, this is a safe place to be. It's a little scary at first.
It's hard. Sometimes you have people who have never, ever been outdoors and they just see something they want to try.
Yeah.
And so you can always pick out the newbies. You can pick them out because they're asking 1,000 questions, which is fine, but they're asking 1,000 questions and you're having to comfort them. Like, it's okay. Don't look down.
Right.
Although we're not that high, but to them, it may feel like, wow, I'm really high up in the mountains. And you're like, no, you're not really high at all. Yeah. It's a beginner trail. Right. But it's very cool to see how someone thinks they cannot make it. And then by the time you finish a hike, they're like, I did it. Yes. I went hiking. And so that's what our one-on-one hiking clinics help with, our one-on-one snowshoe clinics help with, your 10 essentials clinics help with, that education that they need to feel comfortable to even get outside.
Yeah.
And then really not pushing getting the proper equipment. Like, you don't need a trekking poles to begin.
Right.
People feel like they need the perfect shoe, they need the perfect backpack, they need the exact amount of water, and it's, you know, and we have it on our events. We'll put beginner, we'll put intermediate, we'll put advanced. Mm-hmm. So if you're a beginner, don't try to come to an advanced event.
Right.
I did have one young lady at Colorado State University. She came to an advanced event, and we all waited for her. We talked her through it. You can make it. You've got this. And by the time she came down, she was getting her PhD and she had never been hiking before. And I was like, wow, you're so smart on the academic side. Let's get you introduced to nature and yes, allow for you to feel comfortable in that space. And it's empowering. It's just absolutely 100% empowering to see people's lives being changed just by being outdoors in the nature.
Yeah. Do you think, what do you think the most beautiful lesson is to be taught? That story is so cool. So she's getting her PhD, which by empirical standards of education, that's the top shelf, baby. That's where you want to be. Yeah, you're doctor. Now this is a very educated person, but you know, they're like you said, they'd never hiked before. I mean, they probably couldn't identify plants or bugs or hear birds and talk to them. So like for someone like that, I guess anybody who maybe they don't think that they're missing out by not being out there. What do you think like the greatest lessons that someone like that can learn?
For physical, in physical sense, she wasn't in the best of shape.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she learned how to push herself academically, mentally.
Yeah.
But I think for me and watching her, it taught her to push through physically. Mm-hmm. Right. So that comes back to heart disease and diabetes and high cholesterol. Like, you can be academically so smart and doing so well and have the mental strength to study all night and to pass these exams and write your dissertation. Yeah. Now it's time to use a different type of muscle, not your physical muscle, and train yourself that you have the ability to work out. You have the ability to push yourself to new levels. And that's what I was really proud of, seeing her push through.
Connect that physical side to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is really sweet.
Yeah. That's something that we need, you know, I would say a good example of a human being is being able to have the balance between all different areas of your life. And you can't be all outdoors, but have no common sense, you know? So you can't be all academic and have bad health. And so I think that was really cool to see that balance there.
Do you see that a lot where someone comes in and it's more of a, like a physical mental challenge to them than it is for others?
Oh yeah. There's a few different types of people that come out. So you have your women who are already outdoorsy.
Yeah.
And they are already established in life. And you could see how well balanced they are between work, their love relationships, and just the strength of who they are inside. And then you'll have people who are brand new, who you could tell they don't eat properly. You can tell they just the way they live day to day isn't the healthiest. You could see it as, you know, from the conversations you're having on the hikes. You could tell, you know, how far back they are when you're hiking. Like, mm-hmm. hold on, we got to wait for a couple of people. So it's, you can see the physical manifestation of a person's balance and their level of health and wellness and their mental strength when you're out with them.
Right. So, yeah. Right. The nature is a great equalizer. I use that term all the time.
Yes. Yeah.
But literally, and
sometimes it's really just about taking a nature walk. If you aren't mm-hmm. a hiker, it's okay to just start out nature walking.
Yeah.
Like literally going to the nearest park and just start walking. You don't have to be a climber or a zipliner or a river rafter. You could literally just go to the park and start enjoying the nature around you.
Yes, I think that is one of the greatest points that anybody in this industry can make, is that you don't have to zip line. You don't. You don't have to hike a 14er to like get your dose of outdoor life. I mean, take 30 minutes a day and walk around the park. And I know not everybody has access to go to these places. So
that's right. Take
30 minutes and go like in your backyard, or if you don't have a backyard, stand on a balcony and like let the sun hit you. Like find something small that you can do consistently to feel that sense of adventure.
Yeah. It changes you.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know something that's more stress relieving or more, I guess, happiness inducing than putting your phone down in your house, leaving it and walking next to some trees. And if the trees are by a river, that makes it even better, or some sort of water. And if you start hearing the birds, there's a quote, I can't remember exactly who said it. I'll have to look it up. I'll be mad at myself. I don't know, but it's that someone who knows the songs of birds never walks alone, because you hear the bird calls and you can learn to identify them. Like the chickadee calls in the morning.
Very nice.
My favorite sounds in the world. Yeah. Really good point.
I love waking up to birds. Me except too. those ones that chirp at 3:30.
Yeah.
Have you heard those ones?
Yeah, kick those ones out of the crew.
Why are you up?
Go back to bed. The sun's not, it's winter. The sun's not coming up until 9 anyway.
Go back to sleep. Let's try again when the sun starts to come up.
Right. Yeah. Or go do it somewhere that's not my window.
Yeah. Go away. I used to live by like a nature trail and a creek, and it was like 3:30, these types of birds would come out, and I'd be like, what are you doing? I felt so lucky. I was like, I got this cute place, it's right by a trail and a river. And then I was like, oh, I am really close to nature. And so being that close, you have to accept all that's around you. And I was like, okay,
yin and yang,
let me figure. Yeah, the yin and yang. Yeah. So
that's hilarious. I'd love to talk about representation and its importance in the outdoor world. To be very blunt, you see a lot more white people in outdoor recreation than you see people of color. I think personally that it's really hard to visualize yourself doing something if you don't see someone that looks like you doing it as well. So do you think that by encouraging people of color to get into these activities and, like, I mean, 70 people at a trailhead, do you think when people see that and, you know, that alone is the catalyst to encourage somebody to maybe try one of your programs?
Yeah. Yes. So for instance, I've had tons of white women that are like, oh, I would love to volunteer and lead hikes. And I'm like, I love the fact that you want to help us.
Mm-hmm.
But I have women who will not come because you're leading the hike, because you don't look like us. And so I appreciate it. I'm like, oh, maybe you can volunteer on the administrative side, maybe the operations side. Let's use your network. You know, I would love to use whatever energy you would like to bring to us.
Yeah.
But you have to look like you need someone that looks like you to say, I can do it. I believe I can do this. And so, yeah, it's important to have leaders in the outdoors who look like those who you're trying to, whether it's Latinas, whether it's Native American, whether it's Asians or Indians, you know, it's important to have that representation.
Yeah, seriously. As far as like the roadblocks you see to that, you know, I think that's a really good example of there's a lot of people who want to, especially in the wake of the last year, there's kind of been more of a racial awakening, which I think is a great thing in this country. And people are reading a little bit more and people are trying to understand things. And there's a lot of white people who want to volunteer and be involved in these types of programs, but it's not necessarily exactly, you know, like you said, a white woman is not going to guide this hike for these people. So what do you think is a great place for someone like me to direct my energy to like support programs like you're running?
Yeah, so I would say funding. Like we need funding for our program so badly. Like $10 a month for 1 year will change how we can operate to provide the right training for our adventure guides. Like I have to get them trained for mountain school. I have to get them ready to do mental health training. I need to get them first aid trained. Yeah. And then I need to provide them swag because they're volunteering their time once a month to lead an event. I had 30 pre-COVID, I had 30 adventure guys. I needed to figure out how to get them, you know, Vibe Tribe t-shirts to make sure that they have, you know, it says leader on the back. I need to make sure that they have the proper waivers, the proper first aid gear inside of their backpacks. Like these are things to protect our members, to make sure that they're safe on the trail, because this is a lot of one-on-one things going on. How do I get out here and do this? Oh my God, there's a mountain lion. What do we do?
Yeah, seriously.
And then also I have to provide them with state park passes. I don't want my guides paying $9 every single time they have to go and lead a hike or to go and look at a trail to make sure this is something they want to do. And so it's costly. Like, it's like, we just want to help people get outdoors. Yeah. How do we do this?
Right. So
I would think that if you want to be an ally, then funding a small amount a month changes so much. It's crazy. I'm like, it's just $9. It's just $10, but it helps a lot. So
yeah, I mean, $10 a month, that's just not going out to grab a couple burgers at McDonald's every month. That's easy.
Yeah. And the cool thing is that you have people who want to be leaders. You have people who want to train to get outdoors and be an advocate in their area, whether they're in Ohio, whether they're in Russia. They want to bring communities of color together to get outdoors and be educated. That's cool. Like, how cool is that? Somebody emails you from Hawaii and they're like, hey,
how do we get involved?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, let me get the right backpack as soon as we have enough funding.
Right.
Yeah. So that's been the struggle.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you guys are doing programming that's local and then like across the United States and the world?
Yeah. So we had an adventure guide in Guam right before COVID hit. And she emailed us and she goes, hey guys, there's this virus thing happening. So they're shutting everything down. And we haven't been in operation since, you know, because COVID shut down like our national parks and things like that. But now we can get out and do like six people, 6 feet apart. And I think smaller groups is actually more intimate. And so our guides can get to know those people on a one-on-one basis instead of huge groups of 20 going out at a time. So,
wow, that's something I hadn't thought about. The smaller groups probably encourage a little bit more honest and open conversations.
Yeah, it's really nice. I will say that I love when we have big groups, but then I like when we have like six people. I'm like, hey, what's up, man? I haven't seen you in so long.
Yeah. Do you think that adventures forge deeper relationships?
Oh, yeah, because you're exploring, right? You're exploring together, so you always have that story. And then it's a new, you're creating new neurons inside of the brain, so you're expanding who you are as a person physically. And so that's really cool to see people grow together. And at the end of the year, they're like, when they come to, you know, they may miss a few hikes, and then they'll come back like 6 months later, like, you remember that one time?
And it's
so cool to just see that community come together like that.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's so cool. Like the neuroplasticity of building a skill along with the community. Yeah, that's really neat. Especially because there's a unique facet of outdoor recreation, which is you struggle a lot. And when you're building relationships in the crucible of outdoor adventure, you remember who was there as you were stumbling down the mountain or falling out of a raft.
We were hiking, I think it was about 20 of us. We were split into a couple of groups, but there was deer. Here at Cherry Creek State Park, they have a shooting range that's near the park, which I hate. I hate it because you can hear all the guns go off. But the deer don't like it. And so when they hear the guns, they just took off running through the forest. And all you hear is something running towards you. You're like, God, what is that? And then you see them leaping over logs. And I'm like, oh my God, everybody stand still. Everybody stand still. But it's a hike. It's an event that we could never, ever, ever forget. Like, you know that time we were hiking and the deer just came running through the forest?
Yeah. What a memory. What would your advice be to somebody who wants to get involved in a program that's like what you guys do, but they don't really know what the first step is to do?
Yeah, so to get involved, let's see. So you can become a member. Anybody can become a member. I think that's what people need to understand is that you can become a member of something and get a t-shirt and a water bottle and support the program, even if you aren't a person of color. If you are a person of color and you want to start taking these educational outdoor courses, then you would go to Facebook, join our Universal Tribe, or join the tribe that you're in your state or your region. So all the information comes from vibetribeadventures.org. And then there's a map that tells you where you can go, like join here, click here to go to our Universal Tribe, or click here to see all of our groups.
Yeah.
And on Facebook, you can see the different groups that we have active. And since it's like in COVID, we have some groups that kind of shut down a little bit, but we're revamping up. And so spring, we should be good to go as far as the 10 states that we had previously.
Very cool. Yeah. And hopefully by the end of the summer, things will start looking like they used to.
I know, because I'm like, I want my Hawaii chapter going again. Yes. I want Canada to go again. Yeah.
Right. Now, let's say... in the future here, you end up, people who listen to this podcast, they decide we're going to give $100 a month. You've got money flowing in. You've got all the resources that you could ever want to pursue your cause. What does your moonshot look like?
My moonshot. That's cool. I've never heard anybody say that before. I honestly would like to have members who can't afford to be members get their membership sponsored and paid for. Like, that's a dream of mine. We have kids here who've never been across Colorado Boulevard. It's pretty much never been to the mountains. And to me, that's very heartbreaking to be like, how could you not have been? Well, your mom could be working 2-3 jobs.
Right.
No one can take you. Transportation may not have a car. And so that is getting as many kids outdoors and then teaching them green jobs, like teaching them that you don't have to be an engineer, you could be a park ranger, or you could work for a small government agency like a park and wildlife agency for the state of Colorado. There's so many things. And so being able to anchor these different programs and allow, I'm talking so fast, I'm so excited.
It gets me fired up when people talk fast.
And the reason why I say all this is because I went to school for aerospace engineering and I switched over to organizational management. And I found my niche was in project management in engineering, design, build, and construction firms. So I've been doing that for 10 years, but I was able to work at Lockheed Martin Space Systems, with NASA, with National Renewable Energy Laboratories, like really big organizations yeah. that hire people to do cool things.
Yes.
But not everybody fits that mold, you know? And so you need to be able to provide other educational resources for these kids. They're our next generation. Like, if we don't teach them and expose them to new things, they'll just stay stuck where they are. And that yep. to me is so frustrating. So
that's something that cannot happen. That cannot happen.
Cannot. I just feel like I have a platform. Use my voice, use this platform, and let's change the next generation and what the outdoors looks like.
Yeah. And like you've expressed, you were the outdoors as a kid. That's what it was, you know? And so if we can make that, I think I'm so in line with what you're saying, because I think if you can bring every kid into nature, of course you'll have a couple that'll still think bugs are gross. But I think majority of them are going to fall in love, and they're going to want to at least partially be involved. And we look at, you know, at climate change, and we look at building more resilient communities, and we look at inspiring people. I think that right there is the very first step. So that is so awesome to hear you say that.
Yeah. So I think there's never enough funding for that. Like, mm-hmm. you take care of the Black mother. Okay, great. But you also have to take care of their kids. Like, you have to incubate Black and Brown kids and what is available to them. Show them yes. that there's something else besides their little concrete jungle that they're in.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Oh.
That is so good. Well, I want to move into the final questions here and respect your time this evening. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you'd like to bring up here?
Well, okay. So we talked about funding, because I always need funding. So that's monthly. I need monthly donations to go to our different programs. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're looking for new adventure guides for 2021. Okay. So if anybody wants to apply to be that, if you're a person of color and you want to be a leader of the outdoors, please email me at jess@vibetribeadventures.org. And we're going to start mountain training here in February, mid-February, and get you CPR trained and things like that to just make you a better person. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to be a mountain expert. We do art therapy outside. We do yoga. We do breathing techniques and meditation to help mm-hmm. with trauma-based programming that is existing within social justice, criminal, all that is yeah. going on right now in the climate.
Yeah.
I really appreciate this platform. I think this is such a cool platform. I really appreciate you reaching out to me. I'm 8 months pregnant and I'm running out of breath, but I'm like, this is so great. This is so cool to just talk about these things and what's happening and to connect with people across the world and have a platform to just hang out and drink beer and water together.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. I have five final questions for you. Do you think you're ready for them?
I'm ready.
The first one's real easy, and we've talked about some of the stuff already, so I'm going to tag everything we've talked about in the show notes, and I'm going to encourage every person that cares about this podcast to donate to your platform, because I think that's super important. But where can we find you guys on social media, and is there anything else that you'd like to plug or bring awareness to?
Yeah, so we're actually on Instagram. You can find us at vibe.tribe.adventures. We're also on Facebook, Vibe Tribe Adventures, and then we have Facebook groups. But our main one is the Universal Tribe, and anyone can join that one for free.
Awesome.
We're on Twitter too. Let's see. So that's Adventurous Tribes. That's the name of it.
Cool. I'll tag them all in there. I'll make it easy for people.
Okay. Very cool. Thanks, Dan. Yeah.
And I'll tag out the website. So anybody listening, go over there and make your donation. Question number two is, what is your favorite outdoor activity and why?
Oh man, gosh, that is so unfair.
I know, you gotta pick one.
Oh man, I would just say nature walk. It's the easiest, the most relaxing, the most enjoyable, because it doesn't cost for a lot. And then you can just catch the sun yes. sun and hear the water. I love being by water, whether it's a lake, a river, a creek, a waterfall. I love to catch the water. So
yeah.
Yeah.
And nature walks are great too, because don't get me wrong, I love doing things where I find flow state and I zone out, but yeah. You can do the same thing in a nature walk. You know, you're listening, you're seeing it. And next thing you know, you've walked 3 miles and you're like, how the heck did this happen?
Yeah. Especially if you're at work all day, you can just hop out and take a walk. It's just convenient. That's all. If you've had a stressful day, you receive bad news and you're like, you just need to put on your shoes and go for a walk. So yeah.
Yes. I love that. Question number 3 is tough too. What's your favorite place that you've ever been to outside?
Man, these are ridiculous.
That's why I don't prep you with them.
More people miss questions.
Oh, believe me, I know.
I would say I went to Vail, Colorado a few years ago, and just the way it looks, it's just a cute little ski city. And we went bike riding and it was just so peaceful and it was so far away from major traffic. Everyone in the city was just so kind. And it was just a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
So you have those people who like to be extremely excluded from the city. I don't.
Right.
I don't like to be in the middle of any, like, just completely segregated from the city. I like to be able to see a few cars and a few lights.
Right. Yeah. I hear you.
So I felt like I could go further out to Vail, but be close enough to a city. And it was quick enough that I could get home if I needed to. So.
Yeah. Cool. Good answer. Number 4, what is something that you see today as a blessing that in the moment you might have seen as a mistake?
Yes, it was my first 14er. Oh, my God.
No one's ever ready for the first one.
I wasn't prepared at all. Like, none of my team was prepared. And God bless my soul, my mentor, Winston K. Walker, he passed away in December of 2019 and he was my mentor. He helped get this group going. He would send us such detailed emails that, you know, when you're an outdoor person, you're just like, I want a backpack and some shoes and some water and snacks. Let's go. I don't want all this extra stuff. But really, for a 14er, you kind of got to be prepared for it.
Yep.
Here we are, it's a wind chill coming, and we're like, we're about to do this 8-hour hike. We got this, no problem. Our water froze. Oh. It was so bad, we didn't even make it the first time.
Oh no. There's a valuable lesson there, I guess, too, that sometimes it's okay to turn around.
But the whole thing is, he taught me what it means to be a leader for your community. And Winston was sick. He had an autoimmune disease and he was an older gentleman. And he hiked with us for probably an hour. And then he stopped and he sat down and he has his windbreaker. He has all his layers. He has his snacks. He has books. And I was like, Winston, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm just going to wait for you. And he waited for every single hiker we had come down from the mountain. And that taught me, like, wow, that's a real person who's advocating for the outdoors. Like, he, no money. Like, he just waited for us.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's crazy. So it was hard to get up there and try. And he's like, how did you do? Like, tell me how it went. And then he died like 2 months later.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So that was tough, but it brought a lot of light for someone who runs an organization that is here to help advocate leaders to get outdoors. So
yeah. Great answer. Great answer. Before I get to our final question here, Jess, I want to acknowledge you for the work that you're doing. I think it's beautifully important. I think that you're a light in your community and spreading across the world that it's going to light a lot of candles and get a lot of people fired up, and it's going to, you know, change the world one person at a time. So I love what you're doing. I can't wait for things to get back to normal so I can come have a beer with you post baby and enjoy Colorado. So thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you for putting together this platform. This is a wonderful platform, and I hope people continue to support you and this podcast and what you're doing to just have different voices out there. So thank you for this.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. All right. Last question. Ready?
Okay.
When it's all said and done and we're sitting by the campfire, we're drinking a beer, and we're thinking about your legacy, what do you hope we're saying about you?
Oh, man. You know, I was just thinking about this the other day. I was like, if I die, what are people going to say?
I think you should think about it every day. That drives you every day. Like, okay, if I were to die right now, what are they going to say about me?
Tell me yours first.
What mine? Yours? Oh, yeah. My gosh. I hope people say that I brought them joy. So I hope when people think of me, they feel happy. And they think of the times I made them laugh, even when they were struggling, or the time that I picked them up when they were down and showed them where the sun was coming up the next day. I hope people remember me for literally being a guide into happiness for their life.
I could see that.
Thank you. Thanks.
I could totally see that. Okay. All right. I think mine is never giving up on being the sunshine.
Yes.
Yeah, because everyone has their own issues that they're dealing with. Family, work, self-esteem, finances, kids, family. But you can never give up on yourself, and you can never give up on your, because you have a support team. There's people out there who love you, even if you don't think that they do love you. And so never giving up on yourself, never giving up on the things that you love. I think that's most important. I think that's what people will remember. Like, wow, Jess never gave up.
Like, and the sun comes up every day. Awesome. Jess, thank you so, so much for the work you do and for giving me an hour of your time tonight. It was such a blessing to meet you.
Yes. Thank you, Dan.
All right. We'll keep in touch. All right.
All right. Have a good night.
Yep. You too. Bye. And that is that for this episode of Camping Out. Jess has such an amazing energy. It is absolutely infectious. If you listened to that episode and did not feel inspired, I'm telling you right now, there is something wrong with you. Highlighting the inequities of the Black population in America, especially in outdoor spaces, is such a powerful and important field of work. And I hope you'll consider donating to Vibe Tribe Adventures to help them further their cause. The link to their website is in the show notes, and consider doing that $10 reoccurring donation for them. While you're at it, please make sure to subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you listen. And share this with friends and family. Spread the word and help us grow this campfire crew. Friends, I am so thankful for you as always. We'll be back in your ears next week. But until then, remember, adventure comes to those who go.